and welcome everyone to today's 4SC conference call on key developments in Q1 2020, as well as our outlook for 2020. I'm Larissa Stütze, and here on the line with me is our CEO, Jason Loveridge, who will provide you with more information, and then we will open up the call for questions. I'm sure you have already seen our press release this morning, and the presentation for this call is also available for download on the website. You can find it under Investors and Media section, under Investor Information, and then Conference Calls and Webcasts. The slides will give you some support for Jason's comments, but anyway, you should be able to follow the call even if you don't have them in front of you. Before I hand over to Jason, I would like to give you all a brief reminder. During today's conference call, we may make projections or estimates regarding plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products, services, or future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With those formalities out of the way, I'll now hand over to you, Jason.
Thanks, Larissa, and welcome everybody to the Q1 conf call. I will work from the slide deck that's on the website, as Larissa indicated, starting on slide three, which is simply an overview of the company as we stood at the end of Q1, and I think the key highlights from the first quarter. From an employee point of view, we still have 46 people in the company, which is more or less where we finished 2019, as well as both drugs, resminostat and domatinostat, in clinical development as well. The stock market details are shown on the bottom on the right-hand side, but I think I want to really bring everybody's attention to, I think, three very important pieces of news in the first quarter and significant advance for our clinical studies. On RESMAIN, we completed the enrollment of 150 patients at the end of 2019, and the Data Safety Monitoring Board looked at the cumulative safety data on these patients in Q1 and recommended continuation of the study. That will be the last DSMB meeting before we hopefully conclude recruitment of the study and publish the top-line data. With domatinostat, I think two important pieces of news. The first on MERCLIN-2, where we entered into a supply agreement with Merck Pfizer for avelumab for the MERCLIN-2 study, which is a clinical study of domatinostat in combination with avelumab in patients that have progressed on checkpoint therapy. That study has now been accepted to start in the United States with our IND having been agreed to by FDA, and we hope to start that study as soon as possible in the current circumstances. Finally, with respect to DONEME, which is our study of domatinostat in the neoadjuvant setting in melanoma, the first patient was enrolled in the first quarter of 2020 as expected. Moving on to slide four and the financial review and outlook. At the end of Q1 2020, the company had a cash balance of just over 40 million euros, which is on budget as we currently plan. Spending in the first quarter was slightly below what we've forecast for the year at 1.677 million, but we would hold our forecast for the rest of the year at between 2.2 million and 2.6 million per month. The funds that we have at the bank, we still expect to see or to be sufficient for the company to continue operating into the second half of 2021. Moving on to slide five and the operational outlook. Obviously, the operational aspects of 4SC have been affected by the current coronavirus crisis, which I think everybody is aware of. With respect to ResMain, at the end of the first quarter, we had enrolled an additional 5 patients and completed the quarter with 155 patients enrolled in the study. With respect to domatinostat, we had initiated 4 clinical studies, all of which are now temporarily suspended or were suspended at the end of the first quarter as a result of the global coronavirus pandemic. I think here what's important is that we're doing everything possible to maintain the safety and the well-being of patients that are all enrolled in our studies and to maintain patients on study protocols so that we continue to ensure data quality and data integrity. We are in touch with all the clinical centers that 4SC is engaged with on all of these studies and are actively reviewing on almost a day-by-day basis when we might be able to restart recruitment. And on this front, we have, I think, 2 pieces of quite positive news. The first is with respect to Donimi. With this study, recruitment will restart this week in the Netherlands. So that study is no longer being suspended but is open to recruitment. And we are proceeding with the opening of the second center, which is in Australia, for this study. So that is continuing after, I'd say, a very short interruption for coronavirus. And in respect to Sensitize, where we're currently recruiting cohort 4 of that study, we have 2 German centers of the 5 that we have available for that study now reopening again this week for recruitment. So that study will actively continue as of this week. Finally, on slide 6, just to bring to your notice the annual general meeting, which we have announced will be held on the 8th of May, so it's actually not that far away from today, a couple of weeks. This will be a virtual meeting, which will be the first for 4SC, and this will be held under the new legislation that has been agreed in Germany to allow AGMs to continue in the current circumstances. And we hope to provide, or we will provide, a further update on operations at this meeting, as it's only 3 weeks away. With that, I conclude my presentation for today and pass back to Megan to open the call for Q&A.
Thank you, Jason. As a reminder, everyone, that is star followed by 1 to ask a question today. If you do change your mind, please press star followed by 2. And when preparing to ask your question, please ensure that your lines are unmuted locally. Our first question today comes from Marcus Majcek of MainFirst. Marcus, your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Marcus Liebrecht here, actually, MainFirst. Yeah, thanks for the quick update on the Q1 results. I have 2 questions. One is relating to the partnership with the Yakult Honsha. So I would like to hear your thoughts, Jason, on how the relationship is going after Yakult's decision to terminate with Minostat in VTC earlier this year. And secondly, on the monthly cash burn, as you mentioned, that was lower than planned. Does that mean simply delays in patient recruitment, or have you identified some potential sources for cost cutting? And also related to that, maybe a minor remark. In your presentation, you state that the current cash liquidity position should last at least into second half 21. In your press release and in the Q1 report, you state it should last into second half 21. So is that anything relevant, or is it just irrelevant? And let me briefly review. Maybe on some kind of scenario sensitivity. So if we assume the worst case, that the shutdown and the corona impact may last longer than expected, how would that look like with regards to your financials, meaning what proportion of cost will be occurring anyway, even if you're not able to recruit more patients, meaning the underlying recurring costs in that worst-case scenario? Thank you.
Sure, Marcus, thanks for that. So I think there's four questions there. I'll try and deal them with them in the order that they are asked. So with respect to Yakult, I don't think anything has really changed there. The interaction with them is the same as it was before, which is that we have a conf call every second week, which is focused on the ResMain study. And that study has recruited well in Japan. We have more than we initially intended to recruit there, so we're very happy with the recruitment in Japan. But I think we've more or less reached the limit on what we'll recruit, so I don't see large numbers of patients coming from Japan in addition to what we already have, maybe the odd one or two, but that would be at most. So I think, you know, the relationship there is unaffected by the BTC outcome and remains very much focused on ResMain. With respect to the following three questions, which really relate to finances, so in the first one with respect to the timing, this is really just a delay in spend. So it's not a reduction. It's not a change. It simply reflects the timing of expenses as they come in, and clearly, you know, with coronavirus and happening towards the end of the first quarter, some spending has been delayed. With respect to the cash reach, I think this is just language here. There's nothing to be really adjusted. We're not in the process of actively cutting costs. Those costs that have been delayed, may extend the cash reach for a period of time, but it's very much focused on just how the timing of those expenses come through. And with respect to the impact of coronavirus and timing on data and studies, I think this is incredibly hard to provide at this point in time. Literally a week ago, a few days ago, all clinical centers were closed to new recruitment. We were only notified on Friday evening that the Donini study would start this week again. We were only notified this morning with respect to the German centers on Sensitize. So I think, you know, we're actively in contact with all of the clinical centers literally on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, and we will restart as quickly as possible. But given, especially in the case of ResMain, that we're in 11 European countries, I think we'll see these countries respond differently to the current crisis, and even states within those countries will respond differently. So it's really hard to provide any sort of sensible sensitivity at such an early stage. And I think we're monitoring this actively, and when we have more information, we can communicate a more informative impact analysis for the clinical studies.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, everyone, that is star followed by one to ask a question today. We have no further questions on the line, so I'll hand back Jason for any further remarks.
Thanks, Megan. Thank you very much for everybody's attendance on the call, especially in these very difficult circumstances, and hope to see you dial into the virtual AGM in a few weeks' time, where we'll provide a further update. Thanks, everybody, and have a good afternoon.